When mankind rebelled against God, the chasm between the two was infinite. Justice demanded payment for this great sin. Only God could bridge this gap, and he did so by sending Jesus into the world, born into a peasant family in Israel. This baby was much more than first appeared. He speaks of himself in the Bible's last book as the Alpha and Omega. Today, what this means. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a Christmas series on the mystery of Bethlehem, probing the wonder of the coming of Jesus into the world. We're in Revelation chapter 22, seeing Jesus in figures of speech. First, the alphabetical figure.
Now, the Encyclopedia Britannica, as you know, has 30 volumes, I think, on science and history and philosophy and all of the knowledge of humanity. And Jesus, of course, being the Alpha and the Omega, is the A to Z, the Encyclopedia Britannica. And it has all of this knowledge, and it's all communicated in 26 letters. Jesus contains within himself all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the Bible says. And in him is all things. Wow. Who is Jesus? Well, I can tell you this about Jesus. He's the creator of the stable in which he was born. All of the elements that went into the building of that stable, whether wood or stone, he created them. He is the owner of the inn that rejected him. He owns the place because he owns everything. He is the one who is going to be judge, and he is the one who is going to rule. And so you have Jesus Christ here as the beginning and the end. He was here at creation because he was the one who did the creating. He was here at his birth, veiled in flesh, the Godhead. See, you couldn't see everything that belonged to him. But nonetheless, he was here, always doing his thing, ruling the world by the word of his power. So that's the first figure of speech. It's an alphabetical figure. Let's go to a second figure of speech, and that is in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David. The root and the descendant of David. If the first one is an alphabetical figure of speech, this is a botanical figure of speech. The root and the offspring of David. Don't you find the Bible fascinating? Just think about this for a moment. Jesus Christ, in being the root of David and David being a branch, indicates that he is David's father. Because as creator, of course, he belongs to David and belongs as the creator and the father of David. But also the Bible says very clearly that he is the offspring of David. Jesus used this himself, you remember, in the Gospels. He loved to ask questions that people couldn't answer. And one of the questions that he asked them was, the Messiah, whose son is he? And they said, well, he's the son of David. And he said, you're right, but why did David also call him Lord? How could he both be David's son and be David's father, David's Lord? Well, the answer is he's both. As God, he's David's Lord. As God, he's David's father. But as man, he is also the offspring of David. That's why you have the genealogies that talk about the birth of Jesus and who Jesus really was. And so Jesus here is presented to us as man. So, first of all, the first figure of speech is Jesus is God. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He's God. But the second figure of speech, he's the root and the offspring of David. It seems very clear that he is man. He's man. Now, what is the next figure of speech? We could say that it is one based on astronomy, astronomical figure of speech. Notice he says, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The bright morning star. probably a reference to Venus. The morning star is the star that comes out indicating that dawn is on its way. The sun is about to rise. And what Jesus is saying is that in his coming, he is predicting the day when the sun is going to arise, and of course he's going to return to earth, and he is a reminder of that. And his star, the bright star, outshines all of the other stars that might be out there. In fact, one day I was speaking to someone who belongs to another religion, and this other religion has a prophet. And I was talking to him about it and helping him to see that once the bright star comes out, all of the other stars fade into insignificance, particularly when the sun comes out. They all fade into oblivion. And in the presence of the Son of God, all other human stars disappear. And Jesus now is the bright and the morning star. That means that he is king. In the book of Numbers, it says in chapter 24, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Now follow carefully. It says, a star shall arise out of Jacob, and a scepter arise out of Israel. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Notice there, kingship directly connected with being a star. So we have in these three figures of speech, Jesus Christ is God, Jesus Christ is man, and Jesus Christ is King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now notice, in light of the fact that he is a king, notice what the text says in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. What they are welcoming is the king. They're saying, in light of the fact that you are the king, you come, and you come to us, and let the one who is thirsty come, or the one who hears say, come. That refers to all of us, doesn't it? All those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they all desire that the Lord come. In fact, the Bible says that there's a special crown given to those who love his appearing. And of course, all believers, if they are honest, unless they are living far away from God, they desire the appearing of Jesus because they love Jesus and they want him to return. And so we join the Spirit. The bride is a reference to the church. We join the Spirit and the bride, and we all say, come, Lord Jesus. And let the one who hears, that's all of us as individuals, we say, come. And then suddenly in the middle of the verse, and I hope that you're looking there at Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, we have a switch. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires to take the water of life without price, let them come. So now the coming at first, in the first half of the verse, is we are asking Jesus to come. And now Jesus is asking those who are thirsty to come. And right after this service, those of you who are thirsty, you can come and take of the water of life without price. This is such a beautiful figure of speech. I want to talk to you just for a moment, because there are those of you who are listening to me today who've never trusted Christ as Savior, and you have tried all the watering holes of the world. You've tried your sexuality. You thought that happiness and fulfillment would be there, and you've been disappointed, and you feel hollow, and you feel empty. You have tried money. You thought that surely it would reside there. Success would finally bring it to you and fill that huge vacuum in your heart, and that hasn't happened. Then you thought to yourself, if you become well-known and other people think well of you and you establish your reputation and everybody respects you, that will be the means of fulfillment, and that hasn't worked either. And so you're thirsty. Within us there is a desire for God that cannot be quenched in any other way except by God himself. And so God bids you, you come to him. You come. Admit the fact that there's hollowness in your life that you yourself can find no answer to. It's found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now notice the blessing that Jesus gives to those who come. And for those, I want to go to verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter the city by the gates. Now, isn't it wonderful to realize that when you come to Jesus Christ, your robes can be washed white and clean? Keep in mind that Jesus Christ is the one who created the holy city, and Jesus is the one who controls the gates of the holy city. And you'll notice it says, verse 15, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. What a division. Now, if you're here today and you fit into the category of verse 15, that you are sexually immoral, sorcery, etc., and all the other sins that are listed, there's such good hope for you that you can fit into verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might have a right to the tree of life. Heaven is going to be filled with all kinds of people who are referred to as dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and those who love a lie. Heaven will be filled with those who allowed Jesus Christ to redeem them and to wash their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Today, I'm speaking to you directly now, one-on-one. When you think of the question of who is this baby in the manger, don't be beguiled or misled because of the ordinariness of it all. Ordinary baby, supposedly ordinary parents, yes, ordinary crib, ordinary manger, ordinary clothes. Don't allow that to obscure the fact that this is God, the beginning and the end, the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, the Savior, the Creator, and the one who distinguishes between those who can go into the heavenly city and those who can't. Jesus invites you today to him. Do you know Christ personally? Have you received him as Savior? Do you fit into the category of verse 14 or verse 15? Who are you? Notice the Spirit and the bride say, come to Jesus. And then the one who is athirst comes. And the one who is thirsty, let him take of the water of life without price. It is free. And God wants you today to believe in Christ. Isn't it interesting that the book of Revelation ends, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this book. I know that this warning refers primarily to the book of Revelation, but in a sense, it refers to the entire New Testament, that we should not take away God's words, we should not add to them, we should revere them, we should study them. And then verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon, amen, come Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all, amen. I might say that at this point, God has nothing more to say. Do you know Christ as Savior? Have you believed on him? Is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you and saying, come to Christ, come to him, because he is all that you need to have your sins forgiven, your robes washed, so that you can enter into the holy city. Let's join together in prayer. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you might take these words, however imperfectly given, and that the Holy Spirit might use your word and by your Spirit speak to those for whom this message was intended. And we pray that you might not give them rest until they come to know you personally and receive you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and isn't it remarkable that this one who was born in Bethlehem should turn out to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords? No wonder the Bible says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." It's a mystery. But I really do believe that God loves it when we try to probe the mystery. We can't fully understand how God can become man, but as we think about it, we are overwhelmed with joy when we realize that Jesus Christ came for us. And that's what the Christmas story is all about. Behind the presents, behind your friends, behind all of the activities that we associate with Christmas is this wonderful gift of salvation that came to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, if Running to Win has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Because we'd be greatly encouraged. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information also as to how these messages can be yours. But more importantly, I hope that you pray for us and pray for our ministry. And thanks to the many of you who have stood with us day in and day out. Some of you have been giving year after year. We're deeply grateful. If you're a new listener, connect with us and let us know that Running to Win is a part of your schedule each day. Thanks again for joining us, and I'll see you right here on Running to Win next time. And as you turn on that dial, I hope that you realize a blessing will be awaiting you, because we'll talk about the mystery of Bethlehem.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up The Mystery of the Baby, the first in a series of messages on The Mystery of Bethlehem. In a moment, I'll have a word for you about tomorrow's Running to Win. First, a question about whether a believer can ever lose his or her salvation. It's time again for another chance for you to ask Pastor Lutzer a question about the Bible or the Christian life. Eternal security. Some believe salvation cannot be lost. Others feel we can fall away from the faith. Fred listens to Running to Win in Marion, Kansas. This is his story. "I attend a Bible study, and one of our group members said that if we can choose to accept Christ, then we can choose to give back our salvation once attained. However, I believe that I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit and that no created thing, including myself, can separate me from God. However, my pastor told me that a person can lose his salvation. He doesn't accept my argument that a person who falls into some kind of apostasy only professed salvation and did not really believe. He said I was a Calvinist by holding that belief. I do not believe the strict Calvinist view that God has pre-chosen all believers without their will being a factor. I do believe that God has chosen many. Paul comes to mind. But I can't accept the view that we can lose what the Holy Spirit has sealed. Pastor Lutzer, I've not had a good past, and the devil keeps attacking me and trying to get me to doubt the assurance I have in Christ. When I hear my pastor and a knowledgeable friend tell me that I can lose my salvation, it makes me wonder if I'm understanding the word correctly. So, can we lose our salvation?"
Fred, I want to thank you so much for asking this question and the clarity with which you asked it. And I know that for you it is a very personal question. Because as you say, because of your difficult past, there is within your mind this question of whether you can lose your salvation. So I want to begin by saying, first of all, that there are good Christians on both sides of this controversy. And I hope that it's not a controversy that splits your church or drives you away from your church, which in many respects may be a very good church. And throughout the years, Christians have differed on this point. It's not because God vacillates. It's just that there are some passages of Scripture which, if we had them by themselves, we would conclude one point of view, and then you read other passages of Scripture, and they clearly give another point of view, and clearly both cannot be right. I believe that you cannot lose your salvation, because as you mentioned, we are indeed sealed by the Holy Spirit. Also, there is a verse in Romans chapter 8 that is very clear, that God foreknows us, that means that he chooses us,
And then he justifies us, he sanctifies us. And then it says, this group of Christians he even glorified. It's a very strong statement that God has seen fit to save all those who believe and to carry them all the way to heaven. Let me give you another example. In the New Testament, Jesus is spoken of as the Good Shepherd. I've often pointed out that if you had 100 sheep, and in the morning you left with 100 sheep, and in the evening you came back with 98, you'd be the laughingstock among the other shepherds. It's your responsibility to bring as many home as you were given. Jesus repeatedly spoke about those whom the Father has given me. I can't imagine that the Good Shepherd would lose a sheep. No matter how stubborn the sheep is, sheep have a tendency to go on false paths, etc., and yet the Good Shepherd brings them back by hook or by crook. What do we say about those who do fall into moral sin or doctrinal error? Well, I do believe that many of these might be Christians. Christians can fall into great sin. But I believe that generally they do come back to the Lord. And if not, God does bring them into great discipline. Some of them might actually die, as the New Testament teaches. There is a sin unto death. So we need to leave them in God's hands. As far as your salvation is concerned, Fred, don't take it for granted, but just remember that your faith is in Christ. He regenerated you, and have confidence that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So be encouraged, keep going, and remember that you are in God's hands. And Jesus said, no one can pluck them, his children, out of my hands.
Some good news from Dr. Erwin Lutzer for Fred and for all of us. If you'd like to hear your question answered, go to our website at rtwoffer.com and click on Ask Pastor Lutzer, or call us at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337.
As we celebrate Christmas, we often sing, and we sing songs such as Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. And yet today we live in a day and age when there is an angel craze. I saw a book one day that says, Find the Angel Within You. Well, my dear friend, keep looking, because he's not there, I can assure you. There's no angel within you or within me.
The mystery of the angels.
The book of Luke opens not just with the angels of Bethlehem, but an angel comes to the man Zechariah, and then the angel Gabriel comes to Mary.
The mystery of the shepherds.
An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
The mystery of Bethlehem. Four messages to deepen your faith this Christmas. The mysteries of the baby, the manger, the angels, and the shepherds. This CD series will be sent as our thank you to you when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, you can reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer, all one word, .com. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. The inn at Bethlehem was not a five-star hotel. Neither was the cave behind it where Mary and Joseph had to stay. Tomorrow, don't miss the profound mystery of the manger. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.